All right, Henry, we're back. We're back, and we're glad that you are, too.
Right, because many of you probably could have quit, but you didn't.
Right. We prayed that you would just go to the next step.
That's right.
And this is it. So how do you develop goals and plans? Taking a course of study involves study.
Right.
You can't do it without a systematic way of going through something. So I want to start with a verse, Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this. So Paul talks about all kinds of things. And he goes, well, I haven't quite achieved all of this, or I haven't directly arrived at my goal.
Gotcha.
But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Henry, I want to just take a little time here and just talk a little bit about all these highlighted words that I have here. So the first one is, Paul says, I press on.
So what do you mean by press on? When I think of press,
pressing on is continuing a course of action when you feel like quitting. So if you're going to start this whole endeavor of studying at CLI, there will be obstacles. Mm-hmm. You may have already discovered some obstacles. Maybe you wanted to start this course and it's taken how long for you even to, you know, because there was something wrong with the computer, wrong with, you know, someone introduced
figure
it.
Figure something out, yep.
And so this notion of pressing on, nothing good is accomplished without that. I guess it's a passion.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I started college, I suffered from the disability of dyslexia. I don't think I read a book until I was
so
like 18.
Dyslexia
is you see the words opposite.
So you switch words.
Yeah, and so and I guess part of that is you read one word at a time. So I had very little college level vocabulary back then. I struggled and so forth. I sensed the call to ministry, and I remember one day after I got a fail in college, my first semester. And I said, who am I? And I felt this. I have got to press on no matter what.
I struggled too. I don't know if it was dyslexia. Third grade, I was in the special class for the kids who couldn't figure out reading.
Right.
There were four others and me.
Right.
So we were singled.
I was in that class with you. No. Different state. I don't know.
We were singled out as special.
Yeah.
I was in the special.
Yeah.
I was in the special class.
Yep.
And there was a teacher's conference where the teacher met with my parents. And the teacher said to my parents, because my parents told me, you should teach your son a trade because
right.
he'll never go to college.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a trade. My dad was a tradesman.
My dad was a tradesman.
But what she was trying to say is he's not very good at school.
Right.
And
he'll never amount to anything.
And my dad, who was not a good reader, never was very good at school, and this was pre-internet, he decided that this teacher may not know what she's talking about, and he found these books, and he got my brother and I to do them, and he gave us $1 a book to do those things. And he gave me that attitude that some people say this, and some people say that, and this expert will tell you this about who you are, but no one knows who you are except God alone.
Right.
And so sometimes you just have to press on.
Right.
You know, you're going to keep going in this direction until you succeed.
So the first question is, who are you?
Yes.
Are you, does your wanter want
yes.
to take that next step with God's help?
Right. Okay, so Paul also uses the words, forgetting what is behind. So I want to talk a little bit about that because, you know, both of us were talking about our past. That's what's
right.
behind.
Yes.
And I think so many of you out there have decided who you are based on your past.
Right. I think we all do that to some extent.
Yeah. You know, maybe a teacher told you you weren't going to go very far. I remember, you know, I've done the music class here, the worship music class here at CLI, but when I was in fourth grade, I remember a girl in a chapel turning around and looking at me and saying, "You think you can sing?" And so I had all those years of trying to overcome one person's comment.
Right.
So many of you have let one or two or three persons, their comment about you, and maybe you did horribly at school.
Right.
But you're not the same person.
You know, I've let mistakes I've made in the past hold me back.
Right.
You know, I said the wrong thing to somebody, and then the consequence was not good, and then I sort of, for a while, went on the sideline. And sometimes I was even tempted to blame that person or blame myself or blame people.
Right.
And at some point, I had to come to a honest evaluation that I cannot live in the past. I need to forgive myself, stop self-loathing, and say, "Lord, I receive your grace."
I think you make a good point. Sometimes it's not forgiving yourself, it's forgiving someone else.
Right.
Maybe you didn't have very good parents. You know, you weren't raised with an encouraging family background, and you've been, you know, blaming your father, blaming your mother all these years, and there's no doubt that they have contributed to some of the issues that maybe you have. But Paul says,
forget it.
What are we going to do about the past? We can't change the past. Let's forget the past.
There's a kind of thing I've noticed that's called destination disease. I've seen this in pastoring my entire pastoral career. And that is where people live in a destination, or they leave the destination and make a new destination. So when people live in a destination where they just stay where that hurt is, or they don't forgive themselves or something, that destination continues to define them instead of the destination of today.
Right. And the possibility. God's possibility for us. All right, Paul also says, you know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. In some ways, that's actually the definition of a goal. A goal is not
interesting.
Okay. It's the future.
Gotcha.
A goal is always in the future. It's looking to what could be. It's not here yet. And You're not always sure about how you're going to get there, or when you're going to get there, or if you're going to get there. But Paul says, "I'm straining towards that."
Why straining? What does the straining have to do with a future goal?
I think, you know, if you've taken any history at all, history is a story of challenge and
conflict. I mean, there's resistance.
What's interesting is, as human beings, we like it that way.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, when people have time off, what do? Kids, for example, when they have time off, play video games.
Yeah.
They go to school and they complain about how teachers are giving them problems all day long.
Yeah.
And then they go home and give themselves problems. You know, what is work? Work is a problem to be solved.
Right.
You know, how are we going to get this thing done? How are we going to finish this on time? How are we going to pay our debts? What are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to make? Making a meal is really a problem-solving thing. We have all these ingredients. What do we need to do with them to make some kind of a meal? And we love that, because when we accept the challenge and we meet the challenge, and we arrive at the conclusion of the challenge, we end up feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Right, right. So a goal-oriented life is a problem-solving, dreaming life for the future that tries to see things and improve things.
So, and without that sense of a future, then, you know, why get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
People that have no sense of a future, no sense of a future in a particular day, then they have a hard time getting up. Why should I get up? Or they go to work and they have no sense of a future. Or, you know, your day. What are you going to do with your day? If you don't have this sense that there's something good today.
Something to do.
Someone to talk to. Something to accomplish. Then, you know, there's lethargy, there's depression, there's discouragement. You can't get motivated about anything. But when you have that thing, you know, that, I can't wait till 5.
So what about you? So as you think about this, remember we talked earlier about it's practicing and teaching. you know, this isn't about the knowledge of a goal. This is about internalizing who you are and what are you called to do
right.
and called to be. What's your goal?
Right.
Okay. So Paul also says, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the
goal.
Goal. So that's that word goal. He's pressing on, pushing towards this thing. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about what those particular goals could be in your life, but also with Christian Leaders Institute. So let's look back at Paul. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Okay. So that's interesting.
To win the prize. What? I mean, there you can win in Christianity?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, if you think about a goal, like in the game soccer, or
right.
it's called around the world football, they actually call it a goal when something... when
oh,
thing,
that's right.
You know,
when it goes in the net.
Now, can you imagine playing a sport game like basketball, let's say, and we just didn't have any hoops?
Right.
Let's just bounce the ball around and, you know, run up and down the court. But
that's,
what are we doing? I don't know.
Ludicrous.
I mean, 10 people just bouncing the ball around.
Right.
Or we go bowling, but there's no pins. You throw the ball down and, you know... football, we just go out there and hit each other. There's no ball. You know, without a prize,
right?
Without a thing that we're striving to get,
right?
You know, be like making a meal and you don't get to eat it,
right?
That's so what motivates us towards goals is right. that prize,
right? It was interesting when Jesus sent out the 72. He said, you know, you're doing all these things, but in the end, the prize is that your name is in heaven.
Okay.
So, and there's like, ooh, okay.
So, right. So a lot of times we have goals and we're working hard towards little prizes, like,
right.
you know, make a meal, you get to eat it.
Right.
So, but here with Christian Leaders Institute, we're talking about bigger prizes, like
yeah.
you just mentioned, heaven is a prize.
Yeah.
Affecting someone's life for all eternity
is a prize.
Now that's a pretty hefty prize. A lot of the prizes you get, you know, they're gone tomorrow.
Right.
But we're talking about eternal prizes.
Right.
All right. Go ahead. Anything?
Well, I was going to say, and the training to do, to win that prize, to actually help your neighbor and then have a bunch of training to do it well.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Right. All right, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Heavenward.
Ooh, heavenward.
So there's that heavenward, but
yeah.
also the word called.
That's it.
What does that word mean? That's kind of a special church word.
It is, but I believe we all know this, and we should close our eyes before we go to sleep at night. Many of us get a real sense of we're here for something to do. And that it's just not random, that we are placed on the earth for a purpose.
So, you know, because you and I grew up with this word calling.
Yeah.
Now, maybe some of those folks out there, you know, what is a calling? Like, that's a loaded word from
yeah.
a Christian perspective.
Yeah. I understand it as the voice of God speaks to your heart and asks you to do something with your life. For me, it happened when I was 12, and I remember my grandmother read out of the King James Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I called you." And she was reading that, and I felt that the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to be a prophet to the nations. And if I look back at it, that organized so much of my life and motivated me to get my school done and all of those things.
Right. When you have the sense that you have a calling directly from God, then what can stop you?
Right.
Right. So we started with this whole notion of pressing on. Well, the ability to press on, in part, comes from a sense of a calling.
Right.
And, you know, the calling you may feel right now, and some of you are going, I don't know if God has called me to anything.
Right.
Okay. The awareness of a calling doesn't mean that, you know, you might not be aware of your calling, but that doesn't mean that God hasn't called you.
Right.
An awareness of your calling can grow as you start exploring God and all the possibilities.
And the fact is, you're here taking classes.
Right.
Something's going on.
Yeah. So, could that be a
could
cut
it
of
be?
The college?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So, what might your goals be? So, I just some basic little goals. Number one, maybe your goal is to finish this class. But when you start thinking about goals, these kinds of questions are really good. By when? How? Where? And why? So, you started this class, but when are you going to finish it?
Right.
A week? 2 weeks? A month? 3 months? This year?
You have 180 days.
To finish a class, there's all these logistics
yes.
that are involved. Number two, what might your goals be? To complete a specific course of study. So, what am I talking about, Henry?
Well, there are all sorts of different awards.
This is just one
different
class.
Interests. Yeah, this is the introduction. Right. We're onboarding you. We're getting yes. you involved. We're getting you yes. the access. But after you take this access class, you're going to look around and say, you know, hey, I like that class on anger management because sometimes I have the berserker gene in me and I wouldn't mind having it addressed a little bit. So I'm just going to start with that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Or because that's a personal, you want to improve your personal life.
Right.
But there might be others. Maybe you want to take heavier classes, like, you know, you really feel the desire to be a minister. And we have classes right. that go deep
yeah.
into a lot of subjects, or study the Bible.
Yeah.
Of course, Christian Leaders Institute would have the Bible for you to study.
Right.
Maybe you want to do the Old Testament survey
right.
and the New Testament
yeah, see
survey.
What those are about.
Those are goals. You have to figure out right. how to prioritize, or maybe you want to get into some of our enterprise classes. And you want to get a head start on college.
We have a coaching program where
yes.
you learn how to coach people in various areas, whether it be parenting, whether it be marriage, whether it be just, you know, how to deal with life.
Right.
So number three, prepare for a specific ministry goal. We sort of touched on that. You might want to be a volunteer worker. You might want
right.
to be a chaplain. You
yeah.
might want to be a life coach. You might
right.
want to be a minister.
Right.
You might want to plant a church. We have all kinds of different options.
Options.
You might want to be a professor one day.
Who knows?
All right, number four. What might your goals be? To take so many courses over so much time and see how the Lord directs you. So maybe you have no idea what you want to be, what you want to do. You just know that, you know, you're stuck in a rut and you want to start exploring and learning and figuring out what God possibly could do with you. And right now you're like, I can't imagine God would do anything with me. Well, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You just start learning and growing, and I'm telling you, after you start learning and growing, all of a sudden your mind will be exploding with all kinds of things and thoughts that you never had before.
Interests will often peak. New ideas. You go to sleep at night and all of a sudden you start thinking about stuff you're learning.
You might not be able to go to sleep at
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So, walls to reaching your goals.
There are walls?
Walls?
Oh, no. I mean, at this point, you think, okay, I got a goal. I will
yeah.
articulate it. And now you're talking
yeah.
about walls.
Well, and you probably watched the first lecture, and that wasn't too bad.
Right.
So, and then you're taking this one. You're going, oh, these guys are kind of interesting. At least they're humorous or something.
Right.
And you're thinking, yeah, I can do this.
Right.
Okay? And a lot of times when we start something, Henry, we have all this enthusiasm.
Yes.
That's what got us to start something. You
right.
heard about this program, people talked about it, and so now you're doing it, and you're full of,
I'm
a studier, and so on. But what happens often as we start something, I find that even just like cleaning my garage, I start with enthusiasm, about halfway I want to quit because I'm
right.
tired of it.
Right.
Because now it's become work.
Yes.
And so there's all these walls, and we've identified a few walls that maybe you can relate to. And we thought that we'd talk about them maybe before you even bump into them. So
right.
when you do bump into them, okay, that's what this is.
I want to give self-disclosure that I have all of these walls to some degree. So if you think that we're like so high and mighty that
yes.
we don't have them, this is for you.
Right.
That's not the case.
Okay, walls to reaching your goals. Number one. No specific goal.
What, when, where, how, why. Okay, so this is for most people. They don't do anything because they have no goal to do anything.
Right.
If you get up in the day and you have no goal to do anything, guess
what?
You'll
do nothing.
You end up wasting the whole day. So it's the same thing with CLI. If you don't have a goal of finishing this class, you won't finish the class.
So one of our professors named Dr. Roy Clauser, a professor who was given the Templeton Award for a class, said this, that everybody has an unstated goal if they don't have a stated goal. That there actually still is a goal that you have, and it's inside of you, but it's often not identified. Mm-hmm. So it might just be the goal. My goal is to do nothing today. It's still a goal. It's just, but then you've accepted that goal inside of you. So Dr. Clauser said, great philosophy is being self-aware of what's driving you or others.
And a lot of times we choose goals based on success. In other words, if I have a goal of doing nothing today, I'll probably have a good chance of succeeding.
Yes,
that.
It is. The easiest outcome. Yeah. Nothing.
So the reason we don't put challenging goals in front of us is because we might not make it.
Right. And then we have to deal with the failure of not making it.
Yes. And so part of our encouragement to you is to help you get familiar with failure.
Yes.
Because these walls that you're going to bump into, they're just the walls everyone bumps into.
Right.
And if you could start seeing walls as challenges,
right,
as fun things to overcome. Okay. So no specific goal. Number two, procrastination.
I'll get to it later.
Yeah. Like, you know, the third lecture, I'll do that. Well, I'm planning on it tomorrow, but, you know, then tomorrow comes and then something else happens and then something else happens. Probably some of you procrastinated with this whole course of study. You were going to start a month ago. And finally, I don't know what finally led to it.
Right.
So procrastination is a typical thing that most of us struggle with, largely because I think sometimes it's just hard to get started.
I think it's hard to get started. I think we worry that we might not fail, so we put off to deal with things. And procrastination probably includes a lot of other walls, too.
Yes, yes. But it's a debilitating one. Okay, number three, lack of study habits.
You know, we've been doing this for almost 20 years and 15 years of doing online education almost. And I'll tell you, that's a wall.
Yeah. Well, it's not even, I went to school and college and so on, seminary, and I never took a class on study.
Right.
You're just on your own. And so all my bad habits that I had for most of all my life, I just then transferred to the area of study.
Right.
Sports was very easy to me, so I didn't work at sports. So when I did school, I didn't work at that either.
You know, you bring up a good point there. Now, sports actually takes a lot of habit. I love to golf. You love to golf. If we got a grade for every time we went golfing and every effort we made in golfing, we'd be PhDs today.
Yes, yes.
But because the discipline took, you know, yesterday I was at the range practicing just so. I have sports habits, they're a lot easier for most of us than study habits.
Yeah. All right, number four, struggle with English as a second language. Maybe some of you struggle with English as a second language, and so you're taking classes and so on. Or you might not be struggling with English as a second language, but a lot of technical words.
I was going to say, you know, I think I still struggle with English.
As a first language.
I remember when I went to college, and we talked about that in an earlier presentation, I didn't have a great grade school background, high school. And when I went into ministry, I didn't get into philosophy. That was the course of study to get into seminary back in those days. And every single word blew me away. I had no idea what they were even talking about 99% of the time.
Right.
So there is an academic language here.
All right. Too busy. Work, family, friends.
What can we say?
Right? I mean, that. That's often the excuse we give for not doing something that we were supposed to do. But it really comes again down to priorities. What is it? You don't have to do any of this study.
Right. What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? You know, people actually do what they want to do.
They do.
And so if you're not doing what you say you want to do, maybe what you say you want to do is not really what you want to do.
Right.
All right. Too many distractions.
Yeah, the distraction genes. We have the berserker gene that you need to take anger management for, but then there's the distraction gene, and some of us just have it.
Some of us are easily distracted.
ADD, they call it nowadays.
But sometimes maybe our habits of where we're studying is a place where too many things are going on.
Right.
Now, I can study in the middle of total mayhem, kids, chaos, because I'm someone who just tunes everything out and I don't hear what's going on. Okay,
right.
So I have the hyper-focus thing, and you know, which hurts me because then my wife says I don't listen, because I'm preoccupied with some problem and she's trying to have a conversation with me and I act like I'm listening but I'm not because I'm distracted. So
I've noticed that in you too.
Yeah. But other people have the opposite problem where they can't focus on anything if there's something else going on.
I personally can only focus on what I'm doing if I want it. Mm-hmm. I have to tie my will in with my study. If I, any question I don't want it, I will not be in focus.
Okay. All right. Number 7, no support. Spouse, family, church. So you're doing this study. Maybe you've told some people. Maybe you haven't. Maybe some of the people you told, they sort of laughed at you, because they pigeonholed you.
Right.
They think this is who you are. You think you can learn something? You think, oh, you're at a Christian thing.
Yeah, sure you are.
You know, and then they bring up your past or things that you did in the past, and so you don't have that supportive environment.
Right.
And that's so hard. You need people in your life that believe in you, even when you fail, so that when you fail, they're right there. They encourage you to keep going. I mean, Rich DeVos was so good for us. He would always do that. He was Mr. Encourager. Always finding, you boys are just,
and you're going to do it. Don't worry.
Yeah. He'd always paint this glorious future for us.
Yes.
And because he said it, and because he believed it, we started to believe it too.
Right.
All right, number 12. Number 8. No belief that you can do it.
So this is really about you.
Yeah.
You might have these, self-doubts that just plague you.
Yeah.
And you're wondering why you're even doing this, because you've failed at everything like this in the past.
Yeah.
But not this time.
Right. Maybe you're hearing the voice of a father or mother or brother or teacher or somebody saying negative things about you, and that tape keeps playing.
Right.
All right. Number 9, desire to accomplish but little desire to learn. So some of
that's an interesting one. What does that even mean?
Well, some of our students, because there's certificates and awards and so on, and you can keep track of them, and it almost becomes like a game.
We notice that. Yeah.
And people are sometimes more interested in the badge, in the certificate, and getting the next one.
And then they rush to the classes, getting nothing out of them.
Yeah.
And some of them just barely getting the award.
They won't even watch the lecture. They just take the quiz. And hopefully try to pass as best they can so they can.
And there are some people, Steve, literally, who know how to pass a quiz with learning absolutely nothing.
Right, right. Yeah. And what's the point of that?
Yeah.
The point is to become something and learn something. All right. Number 10, fear of failure. We've talked about that. Let's go to the next one. 11, uncertain of end goal. Some of you don't know, well, what am I going to do with all this? Where is this all going to go? And that keeps you from going to the next step.
Now, I want to talk about that a little bit. What I've learned is that any time I can get enlightened and learn something, something I didn't know, it has everything to do with my future. Whether or not I get a credential to prove anything about it. I just learned, and all of a sudden, new options occur to me, and ideas I never thought before occur when I've learned something. I've had that with you. You're one of these people that is very curious and inquisitive and creative, and I just like spending time with you because I might learn something, right, and it might change my life. And that's what these classes will do. Who knows where you're going to go? Yeah, we have credentials. But it's not the credential that makes a man or a woman. It's you and what you do with what you've learned that makes it special.
Yeah. Okay, number 12, feeling like you're in over your head.
That's interesting.
Some of you may, you might not be there yet.
But eventually you.
Okay, so we're going to leave all those there. What we're going to do now is specifically how we get over those things. And I know we've said some of that already, but we have some verses that go with it. No specific goal, what, when, where, or how. Philippians 3, why don't you read that for us?
Well, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Do you think Paul struggled with this sense of his purpose?
You know, I believe he did.
Okay.
We even read also where he says that there had been a thorn in his flesh.
Yeah.
And he was beaten at many times, and he was held back. And I can see he could just throw it in the towel at some point.
Yeah. But what kept him going?
What I believe Kevin going was he knew that he was on earth for a purpose. In fact, the story of his calling, Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and says, you are going to be the agent, my apostle, to go speak the Gentiles, speak the gospel to the Gentiles.
So do you think, in part, every time he was whipped, beaten, abused, do you think he went back to this original calling? Those original words.
I think so.
And so, what words can we give these folks that they can come back to continue?
You know, all of you have a narrative, a journey on why you're where you are, and so do I. And there's two ways to look at that. One is you're becoming prepared for that next step, that next blessing that you're going to share with the world or with your neighbor or with your family, or it's just all random. I believe these two things are before us. Are just things all random, or is there a purpose?
Is there a purpose?
And I believe there is a purpose, and I believe you're here because you know there is a purpose.
Right. So maybe this is your Damascus Road, this moment.
Right.
Right now. And we can categorically say that God has called you.
Yes.
He has prepared you. And even the negative things that have happened in your life, those are, you know, Paul too. Paul was an enemy of the church.
Right.
But God used all of his background, all of those things where he was walking exactly the opposite direction, and God used all of that for his purpose.
Right.
And he can do the same for you.
That's right.
All right. Number two, procrastination. Henry, why don't you read that one? Proverbs 10:5.
A wise youth makes hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away in his hour of opportunity.
Hour of opportunity.
That's right here.
That's what this is. It's your opportunity. Don't sleep.
Yes.
All right. Number three, lack of study habits. Okay, how do we help people get over a lack of study habits?
We're going to address this in more detail in a future presentation because we know this is a wall that you and I must get over.
Okay. Number four, struggle with English as a second language. I think we talked about that.
And we will have more information on that as well.
All right. Number five, too busy with work and family and friends. Again,
we have no idea what your specific situation is.
Number six, too many distractions. Why don't you read that one first?
1 Corinthians 9:23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in this blessing. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
All right. So in some ways, a lot of our lives are busied up with crowns that don't last.
Yeah. Pseudo crowns.
Yeah. And we work hard, and in the end, what do we have?
Nothing.
So right now you're involved in something that has the potential to not only change your life forever,
right,
but change the people that you're closest to.
Yes.
Maybe the people that you've been estranged from.
Right.
Maybe there's some miracle of bringing some of that back together.
And you're going to learn how to do that.
Yes. Because that's who God is, a God of forgiveness and second chances and
reconciliation,
reconciliation and going in directions you never could have guessed.
Yes.
It's a ride
adventure. It's a grace filled adventure.
Yes. And that's all ahead of you. All right. No support. 1 Timothy 3:5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
I was just going to say, that verse makes me think that, yeah, there is a problem here that needs to be overcome. And it would be understandable that many of you don't feel like you have family support right now.
Right.
And yet, by taking these classes, you're making a step to show your family that you sincerely are on a different path.
Yes. But it's difficult because it's hard to stay on a path when you don't have family support. But once you get on this path, you're more likely to get family support. So you need support from somewhere.
Right.
So we try to be supportive in these classes. So in some ways, we are right in the room with you.
Yes.
And we're trying to support you as best we can. But hopefully you can get other people to study, or maybe there's are people that you already doing this alongside of you. Spend time, talk to each other. You need the encouragement of people around you.
And I will say this, Steve and I can say this, we do love you.
Yeah.
We believe God has a plan for you. And we believe that through your efforts, the world will be a better place.
Yeah.
People will be loved, grace will be shared. And you will be part of that great grace journey.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. No belief that you can do it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's one of my favorite verses.
It is powerful.
I can do all things. So, now, to say that I can do all things would be arrogant, and that's kind of the world way. You know, pump yourself up. Get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, you're awesome, you can do it, and I got to talk myself into this. But this verse says, I can do all things through
him
who gives me strength. It's not on me.
Right.
I mean, the other puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yes.
You should be able to, after all, you live in the greatest country in the world and you have all these, you know, and then you can talk yourself into a downward spiral. But it's not on me.
Right.
It's not on you.
Right.
It's on him who can give you strength. The responsibility that you have is to stay connected to him.
Yes.
All right. Number 9. Desire to accomplish, but little desire to learn.
Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, would I not be a servant of Christ? Or 1 Thessalonians 2:4, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts.
Right. So, again, sometimes I think, you know, students, sometimes we find, you know, we'll take classes and they're trying to pump themselves up, you know, to make themselves look good.
Right.
Instead, you know, so they're trying to please men.
Right.
Like they want to look good before men.
Right.
Instead of,
I'm just trying to do God's will.
Right.
That's it. And I don't want, I'm not trying to have men lift me up. Right. I'm trying to lift up men.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them be filled with your praise.
Right.
The so old hymn.
How can I be the instrument of lifting people up rather than how can I manipulate people so that I'm lifted up? All right, number 10, fear of failure. Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how each person is given a gift. And I love this verse because it says everyone. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
If you're following Christ, then you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may not know what it is.
Right.
There's a lot of different options in terms of gifts. But the Holy Spirit is in you and wants to do something through you. So good things are going to happen for you. You don't have to worry about failure. Number 11, uncertain of the end goal.
Proverbs 13, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
Okay, so you know, might not have any idea where all this is going to lead.
Right.
So what? You make your plans with these courses, with this course, finish this course, and you know what? God will direct the rest.
That's right.
It's just preparation for what God has in mind. And when God is going to let you know specifically what he wants,
so be it.
That's his problem.
That's right.
In fact, you don't even have to worry about it.
It's a curious journey.
All right. All right, last one, I think. Number 12, feeling like you are in over your head.
Okay, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Not to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So, I know for me, most of the time as I grew up with this verse, people used it as, you know, I have to imagine something incredibly big and large.
Right.
And the pressure's on me because God is so great. So I should have these incredible goals that are worthy of God. But that's not what the verse says. It says, now unto him who's able to imagine
him.
Something awesome and great. I don't have to imagine it. That's his thing.
Yes.
I just have to do the thing in front of me and then realize that God can take that little thing that I do, this little class that I finish, the next class, or the first certificate that I earn. He's the one that can take this thing that seems so small. He can turn it into something beyond what you ever imagined.
Right. So, here we are. You have goals. There are walls. But God will be with you. And as you continue forward, know that we're here to support you. We're excited about what's going to happen as you continue on in this course of study.